I just want to kind of reiterate just a couple of things real quickly. First of all, we have some folks in the church that need some meals brought in, and you can help us by signing up for that at takethemameal.com, or there are sign-up sheets in the back of the church. We've got just some folks that really could use some help right now, and so if you can fix a meal once every couple of weeks or something like that, that would really be helpful. If you have any questions about it, you can see Nancy or I, and we'll be happy to help you with that. The second thing is, I mentioned this last week, and I want to mention it one more time. Summer has been rather rough on our finances here at the church. The income has gone down quite a bit, both in missions giving and in a general fund. And perhaps that's just a symptom of the summer slump. I don't know. But if you are not able to give, we've got a couple of ways that you can do that. First of all, you can mail your checks into the church. But we also have online giving available at www.hollandnorthpoint.org. That's .org, not .com. And you can see online giving there. It's very easy. You're in control of the whole process. And you can give that way too. That's an effective way to give. So I just wanted to mention that to you before we carried on here today. Well, we've been talking on Sunday mornings about building better relationships. And this morning, I have a message that's kind of geared towards our young people. So that doesn't mean, Mom and Dad, you can tune out, because these principles are all applicable to every stage of life. But you're going to be starting kind of a new beginning. I remember when I was in school. Yeah, I can remember that far back. But I remember when I was in school, I always thought, wow, you get to start fresh again. You know, you get new classes. You get a chance to kind of do better than you did last semester. It didn't always last for me, but, you know, some of you are better than me in classes. I never let fun get in the way of my education. I made very sure of that. You know, you're going to be building new relationships. Those are very important relationships. Some of the friendships that you're making now are going to carry with you for the rest of your life. Some of you are going off to college, and it's really a new beginning for you, all new stuff for you. And you're going to be making relationships with people that you didn't even know before, from far-flung places across the country and sometimes all across the world. And that's exciting. That's wonderful. That's part of who you are in Christ Jesus. We were made to connect to each other. We were made to be intimate with each other and to share each other's lives. So I want you to get out there and I want you to make relationships. But I want to also warn you that there are some warning signs to watch out for, because there is a class of person that is out there that the Bible calls a fool. How many of you know? Well, I better not ask that. But, you know, the Bible has a certain particular kind of person that calls a fool. And it's a noun. It's applied to people's lives. It's like a character trait. And the dictionary defines it as a person who acts unwisely or imprudently. A person who lacks judgment or sense. Anybody know somebody like that? Don't point. Just raise your hand when you say that. There's people out there that are not going to be good relationship material for you, that are going to drag you down instead of lift you up. And one of the things that I don't want you to be saying next year, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, is that phrase, "What a fool I was." That you made decisions that were rash and foolish and led you into trouble and difficulty, and you got into relationships that just aren't healthy for you. And I'm seeing that more and more in today's culture, in our world, is that there are bad relationships that people get into. Let me tell you something. You really need to be careful who you give your heart to. Whether you're a guy or a girl, you need to be careful who you share your heart with. And I don't just mean that in a romantic way. I mean that in a social way also. People that you become close to. People that you share your life with. The Bible has a lot to say about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 32 through 34, Paul is talking about his credentials, about the things that he has done in his life, the things that he's experienced in his life. He says this, "What value was there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus, if there be no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die." He was talking about the Greek culture that the church found itself in. And that Greek culture was very similar to our culture today. It was all about the moment. You never knew when you were going to die. You never knew when life was going to change. And so their attitude was, you better grab all of the fun that you can right now, right in this moment, because you don't know what tomorrow brings, and it may all be over. And Paul is saying, now listen, that's not a wise way to live. He's comparing it to those Christians that were thrown into the cages of lions and bears and used for sport in the Greek culture that wouldn't give up their faith in the face of death. They were flying in the face of that Greek culture that said, hey, listen, go along to get along. This life is all that there is. And Paul was saying, no, there's more to life than this moment, than this time. There is an eternity that we're preparing for. And so don't live for the moment, live for eternity. That was his advice to those people. And then he says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Now that's a very important thing for you to grab a hold of today. Bad company corrupts good character. You are corruptible. And one of the first things that I want you to understand is there is no one here so strong that you can build relationships and intimacy and closeness with people that are of bad morals and want to drag you down and introduce you to their lifestyle. You are corruptible. You need to tell yourself that. You need to understand that you are corruptible. It all depends on who you spend your time with. That's very important. It says, think carefully about what is right and stop sinning, for to your shame I say that some of you don't know God at all. It is possible for you to get so involved in illicit relationships, and again, our culture has become so sexualized. Whenever I use the phrase like illicit relationships, we immediately think of sexual things. But I'm talking about whole morality, and morality in its whole. That we need to be very careful about who we spend our time with and whose values we take on. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Trouble chases sinners, blessings reward the righteous. It matters who you build your relationships with. It matters who you spend your time with. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If your heart isn't involved in relationship with God and with godly people, you will become who you hang out with. You will take on their values. You will become like them. You know, the Bible says to guard your heart. And that's probably one of the most important things that I could tell you this morning is guard your heart. Make sure that your heart is more involved with God and godliness than in the things of this world. Pleasure is fleeting. Pleasure is deceptive. Pleasure is momentary. But your relationship with God is eternal. Choose those things that are eternal in nature. Train yourself to think of eternity in mind. Don't hang out with fools, hang out with godly people. That's the choice that you've got. You can either feed your soul or you can feed your flesh. Those are the two choices that you have. Now I want to talk for the next few minutes. Time is getting away, so we're going to kind of fly through this, okay? But we're going to talk about 10 warning signs that you need to pay attention to if you're building relationships with other people. And number one, the number one warning sign that there is to get too close too soon. This is especially true in dating relationships. You need to be very careful who you share your heart with. Time is your best friend in relationships. Take your time. Get to know these people. Get to know what their heart is like. Get to know what their character is like. And there's three indicators that I want you to spend time getting to know somebody with. How do they handle conflict? How do they handle money? And how do they handle work? Those three things are character indications of the kind of person that you're dealing with. You cannot determine these traits outside of time spent observing. Keep your eyes open. Watch for these things. These three things, conflict, money, and work. Watch how they handle conflict. Do they fly off the handle easily? Is everybody always wrong and they're always right? Do they have a repentant heart when they're wrong? Do they confess it? Do they say, boy, I really blew that one? Or do they blame other people for it? Psalm 4:4 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Can they control their anger? Now, it's not wrong to be angry. It's wrong to let anger control you. Anger can be a positive thing in your life if it's controlled and if it's righteous and if it's holy. But very little that we get angry about is righteous and holy. What do we get angry about? We don't get our way. That's basically what it comes down to. We didn't get our way, and so we get angry about it. How do they react in situations where there's conflict? Number two, money. A fool and his money are soon parted. How many of you remember that Benjamin Franklin saying? A fool and his money are soon parted. How do they spend money? Are they impulsive on it? Are they always paying off credit cards? Are they in debt? It is possible for a high schooler to be in debt now. Incredible as it sounds, credit card companies aren't all that discriminatory in who they give their credit cards to. But just be careful about how they spend money. Do they use money to impress people? Do they use money to kind of make their reputations? Proverbs 10:16 says, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. What are they spending their money on? Is it just junk? Is it just being thrown away? That's a very good indication of self-control. That's a great indication of self-control. And somebody that's wasting their money and throwing it away is somebody that you really don't want to be around, because you're going to find yourself caught up in that after a while too. Number three, work. How do they feel about work? Here comes the old guy, but listen, how your person that you're in a relationship relates to work is important. Do they work? I mean, just ask that question. Do they have, I haven't found anything I like. I haven't found anything that pays me well. I'm not going to waste my time on that. All of these excuses to not work is a character flaw. It's something that you need to take as a warning sign. Because let me tell you something. Life is work. It's work from when you get up until you go to bed. And if you don't have the right attitude towards work, you're going to be in poverty all of your life. We live in the richest nation in the world if you're willing to work. You got to put the effort in. Listen to what Proverbs 6, 6 through 11 says. Take a lesson from the ant, you lazy bones. Learn their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Do you wake people up at noon? When you call them at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, are they just crawling out of the sack? That's a warning sign. They don't like work, unless they're working third shift. All you third shifters, I apologize. I didn't mean you. You should be in the sack at 1 in the afternoon. But, you know, do they just not get enough sleep? Do they not get enough rest? Are they always laying around? Are they doing this all the time, all the time, all the time? Work is a great indicator of a person's character. And if they're not willing to work, it's a warning sign. Okay, let's go on to number two. Warning sign number two, they don't listen to authority. Now, we live in a country that has its motto, question authority. And, you know, I understand what they mean by that. You know, our government has not really distinguished itself as somebody that's something that's trustworthy lately. But this whole thing of authority is so important in people's lives. Do they listen to authority, or are they a law unto their own selves? Listen to what Paul says in Romans. Now, before I read this, I want you to understand who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who proclaim that they love Jesus Christ, and they're living in a society that hates them. They're living in a culture where the government at this point in their lives are beginning to ramp up persecution against the church and against Christians. They are arresting them. They're throwing them in jail. Listen to what Paul says in that whole context. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted and will be punished. You know, one of the things that you need to watch is how your friends react to authority. Are they always offended when they're told to do something, when they're given an order or a command? Are they offended by that? Does their back get up when they're told what to do?
Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't have to do that. That's just stinks.
And I might throw a few other words in there with that. That's a warning sign. Because let me tell you something. Submission is submission to authority. And the Bible says, submit to each other in love. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's submission. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. You know, there is submission everywhere. It says, parents, obey your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. All of those things are all authority issues. And let me tell you something. There's going to come a time when you are going to ask them to do something and they will not want to do it because you told them to. And you're going to find that they're going to rebel against you too. And they're going to spend their life in rebellion. And let me tell you something. It may look cool to have the young guy that stands up and says, nobody tells me what to do. I do what I want to do. That gets real old real quick when you're in relationship with them. They're nothing but whiners and complainers and rebels. And that's nothing to build a relationship on. How do they respond to authority? That's important. Warning sign number three. This one is kind of self-explanatory. Hot-tempered, violent, and cruel. Hot-tempered, violent, and cruel. I don't think we have had an age in the history of this country before when there are so many angry, violent people. They just no matter what the situation is. And the Bible says more about violence than it does about sexual misconduct. The Bible says more negative things about violent people than most other subjects that there are in the Scripture. Proverbs 3:31 and 32 says, don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but He offers His friendship to the godly. Proverbs 16 says, violent people mislead their companions, leading them down a harmful path. We can see what's happening in the news today when violent people protesting and trying to get justice, when they turn violent, they lose credibility. They become exactly the opposite of what they purport to want to be. And violent people are not people that you want to hang around with. Hot-tempered people. Does your friend lose their cool too often? Do you constantly have to calm them down? Do you constantly have to talk them off the ledge? You know, are they cruel? Are they mean-spirited? If they are, that's a warning sign. All kinds of Scripture talks about that. In Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of that stuff. It says in Colossians 3, you used to do these things when your life was part of the old world, but now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Those are all warning signs that you need to watch out for. People that cannot control their temper are dangerous to you. Not just physically, but spiritually. So you need to take that as a warning sign. Warning sign number four, they run from work. We just talked about this before. They're lazy. They don't want to work. They create excuses to get out of work. When there's something to be done, they're not found. Be careful of people like that. It says, wise words bring many benefits. Hard work brings rewards. Look for a worker. Look for somebody that wants to help other people. Look for somebody that volunteers when there's work to be done. Lazy people want much but get little. And those who work hard will prosper. Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. We already talked about that, so we won't spend a whole lot of time on that. Number five, this is a biggie. Elevating themselves by belittling others. They elevate themselves by belittling others. Proverbs 17:5, those who mock the poor insult their maker. Those who rejoice at the misfortune of others will be punished. Now that's practically an art form in our world today. And the excuses that are given when they hurt other people's feelings are, you can't take a joke. How come you can't? I was just kidding. Come on. You know I didn't mean that. And yet they make a lifestyle out of belittling other people and hurting their feelings and making them, mocking them, making fun of them. We are obsessed with making people laugh in our culture today. And sometimes we do it at the expense of others because it's easy to do. And people that belittle others have low self-esteem themselves, and all they're really trying to do is to lift themselves up at the expense of others. You don't want to build relationships with people like that. You want to watch out for them. Warning sign number six, instant gratification. They've got to have it now. And that goes for everything from spending money to sexual relationships. They want it now, they want it their way, and they won't take no for an answer. Proverbs 16:32, better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Ecclesiastes 7:8, finishing is better than starting, patience is better than pride. Look, if somebody is pressuring you to give them something that they don't deserve and they don't need, that's not somebody that you want to build a relationship with. You need to walk away. You need to tell them that you don't feel safe in their presence and that you're not going to do that. Number seven goes right along with that, an insistence that you violate your conscience. An insistence that you violate your conscience. What that means is they try to sway you with arguments of things that you know to be true that they want you to believe are untrue. You know, it happened in the Garden of Eden. It happened with Adam and Eve. The snake came in and he said, "Did God really say don't eat that fruit?" Well, of course God said that. God understood that it would be disaster if they ate the fruit off that tree. But the snake comes in and says, go ahead and violate your conscience. You know it's wrong, but go ahead and do it anyway. These are not things that friends do. Friends do not disrespect you by asking you to violate your conscience in the face of everything that you know to be true. Colossians 2:8 says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. Ephesians 4:14, then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Don't let people do that to you. Don't let people, you know, the antidote to this is really very simple, and it's this: know what you believe. Folks, this is why, little side trail here, this is why it is so important for your children to be in Sunday school, midweek, you know, all of the things that we offer for children. It is important that they get into these things and that they become a priority, because there is a world out there that is going to actively try to rob them of the truth of God's Word. And if you don't have it planted in their heart, they're going to fall. They're going to fall for high-sounding arguments and foolishness that comes from this world. You need to make that a priority in your child's life. And frankly, you know, that's about the only hope that you've got. Because if you're not bringing your child to Sunday school, Wednesday night, all of these kinds of VBS, all of these kinds of things that they have, I doubt very much that you're teaching them at home too. If you can't bring them to be taught, you're probably not doing it yourself. Well, that's pretty gutsy of you, Pastor. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 16 says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. That's what it takes, young people, for you to stand up. You've got to have courage and you've got to have strength to say no to things that you know are wrong. Warning sign number eight, how do they treat their parents? Just watch how they treat their parents. Now, I know that nobody has perfect parents here except JP. And he's shaking his head. We'll deal with this later. We're not perfect parents. Nobody has perfect parents. But how do they treat their parents? Do they treat them with respect? Do they treat them with love, with kindness? Parents are the beginning of learning authority. And if people can't respect their parents, they're probably not going to respect you. Because if you end up marrying this person, the relationship is the same as a parental relationship under the area of authority. And if they don't respect their parents, do not expect them to respect you. Well, Pastor Joe, you're ruling out about 3/4 of the people out there. Yep. Yep, I am. But I don't want you to live with regrets. I want you to have a great marriage. I want you to have a great life. I want you to have a wonderful life. Romans 1:30, listing people that are sinners. He says, they are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. How seriously does God take obedience to your parents? Pretty seriously. He puts it in all of those things. In Ephesians 6:1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents because that you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Now listen, I know there are bad parents out there, and I'm not saying you should submit to abuse or anything like that. That's off the table, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about a normal parent-child relationship. We're talking about taking out the garbage. I want you to take out the garbage. You always want me to take out the garbage. I'm not a slave. Whoa. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about curfews. I'm talking about back talk. I'm talking about all of those things. That kind of disrespectful, anti-authority stand will not serve you right in this world. Because guess what? One day, you're going to go out into the work world. And in the work world, they have this thing called a boss. He tells you what to do. And if you don't do it, they don't really care whether you're working there or not anymore. As a matter of fact, I'll put it this way. They care that you're not working there anymore. Go away. We'll find somebody else to do your job. And in today's work market especially, there are plenty of people waiting for your job to open up. How do they treat their parents? It's an important warning sign. Number 9, they're never wrong and they're a blame shifter. This is important. Do they fess up when they made a mistake? Do they repent? Do they express sorrow? Do they express regret? Or do they blame somebody else? It's always somebody else's fault. It's mom and dad's fault. It's the teacher's fault. You know, all of this kind of stuff. That is a character flaw that will not serve you well in life. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 12, this is how sin started. The very first sin had this incorporated into it. It says, the man replied, it was the woman you gave me that fruit and I ate it. I mean, Adam, it starts with Adam. Adam, did you eat the fruit? Well, yeah, but she made me do it. Forced it right down my throat. I didn't want to, but man, you know, she just kind of did this and couldn't help myself. Blame shifting. Then he goes to Eve and he says, Eve, did you eat the fruit? She says, yeah, but it's that snake's fault. That snake made me do it. Blame shifting. It goes along with sin every time. We can't believe that we're that bad, and so we make stuff up. We blame other people. James 5:16. Listen to this. It says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed." Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm confessing my sin. You don't need to say that if you don't want to, but just say, "I'm sorry. I blew it. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. I shouldn't have acted that way, and I want you to forgive me." That will go so far in restoring relationships, you wouldn't believe it. But something inside of us just wants to, you know, Mom, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't yelled at me, I wouldn't have done that. No. How many of you noticed that arguments ensue after those kinds of statements? It doesn't work, does it? It says, confess your sins. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces powerful results. And then number 10, they often deceive you. A deceptive person is someone that you cannot trust. And any relationship that doesn't have trust built into it is weak from the very start. Leviticus 19:11 says, "Do not deceive or cheat one another." Don't deceive each other. There's so many ways this can happen. You know, by leaving out parts of the story that are important or not telling the whole truth because you want to slant it in another direction. That's deceptive. That's manipulative. Psalm 25:3, "No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Throw off your old sinful nature and the former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." Lust and deception. God hates deceivers. If you want to understand how that happened, all you have to do is look at the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob was a deceiver, and it cost him dearly. God blessed him anyway. I don't know why God blessed him anyway, but Jacob ended up having to run for his life from his family and live by himself away from his family for years and decades because he was a deceiver, because he deceived his father. Deception, outright lying, is a big red flag. If you can't trust a person, don't build a relationship with them. But so is shading the truth, leaving out vital facts that change the meaning of the answer. Folks, kids, you are starting off on a new adventure in life. And I just want you to have everything that God wants you to be and everything God wants you to have. There is such a wonderful life in Christ out there. And you can do that by trusting God, not your own heart. The Bible says, "The heart is exceedingly deceitful in all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows it?" Don't trust your heart. If he makes your heart flitter, just say, "Oh, he made my heart flitter. Now let's get down to the brass tacks." If she looks beautiful and she would never deceive you or lie to you, give it time. See if that's really true. Don't trust your feelings. Feelings will deceive you. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust God's Word. Trust what He has to say. And you will build relationships that are fulfilling and don't have all the drama attached to it and all of that kind of junk that's out there. That is so draining and so negative and so dragging down to be in dramatic relationships all the time. You don't need it. Walk away from it and simply live in the spiritual realm. That's what God wants for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning that You have given us Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray especially this morning for those that may be leaving this week for college. God, I pray that You would give them a wonderful experience. I pray that they would discover new things about themselves and about You in this relationship with others and with You. And God, I pray that they would find healthy people that are deserving of their friendships, that they would be discerning about who they build relationships with. And God, I pray that You would put Your hand of covering over them, that You would protect them and give them wisdom. God, may everything that their parents have taught them over the years come back to them, and may it be a strong leaning post for them as they go through these next few years. God, I pray for all our high schoolers that are going back to school this week. Lord, I pray the same thing for them, that You would give them a great school year, that they would learn things that they never knew before, but most of all, God, that they would build healthy relationships with people that are worthy of their friendship. God, give them wisdom and guidance in everything that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.